Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to do here on Podcast The Ride The Second Gate. We're down the rabbit hole already.
Oh, the rockin'
rabbit hole, as I like to call it. My name is Mike Carlson. Joining me, as always, my Cheshire cat, Jason Sheridan.
That's right. Today's password is rock and roll.
And DJ White Rabbit himself, Scott Gardner, is here.
Yeah. Look, I want to get right to it. Mike, you're out of your fucking mind. This thing.
No way.
This is not a good thing. I have been giving you the benefit of the doubt on this for a long time. You've brought this up so many times over the years, and I imagined, like, okay, maybe there is a 5% chance that I would look at a video of this and sort of get it. And having looked at some video now, maybe not enough. Maybe that's the issue. But the video that I did look at makes me get it to no percentage.
What video did you watch, first of all?
I watched the Mad Tea Party Band.
Okay.
On the last night that they performed, when they are everybody's hyped, they had changed the set list at that point.
Yeah,
it's closing night of a big show. You know, that's a melancholy.
Yeah, that's
time,
not the that, most
you know?
Exuberant performance yeah. of the whole run.
Well, it should be any sampling that I take should give me some. Look, I looked at other one. The costumes were always the same.
The costumes were the same.
Jack FM songs were always the same.
But whether you're watching the Mad Tea Party or the Diamond Mad Tea Party, you might be getting a different vibe.
First, you know what? Look, I want to calm down here, okay? I want to just settle down. I have made special Mad Tea Party drinks for everyone.
Drink me.
This is, of course, my glass. It's an official Mad Tea Party glass that I have had since going to the show many years ago.
That's right. I saw these glasses and I thought they were candles.
You want to hand one of these to Scott?
What is it?
It is a thing I have. It's elderberry vitamin C. It is strawberry sparkling water and vodka. Okay. So it's not too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It might be bad. It's not bad. It just kind of tastes like sparkling water.
I was getting worried there would not be an alcoholic component.
No, that was the biggest fear.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
We'll I think it's enough sweet.
It's not a perfect drink.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
But it's casual.
That's pretty refreshing.
Pretty good. Great. The elderberry is the vitamin C gives you the flavor, but it's not the too sweet that you might get from like a sugar syrup.
This is a terrific dinner chaser to my meal of a Burger King Chicken King sandwich.
Oh, you had the Chicken King?
Frozen Coca-Cola. I have had the Chicken King multiple times.
Wow, really?
Because I think it's that good.
How, of the other chicken sandwiches you've had that we've had together?
I mean, Popeyes, a good version of the Popeyes one is good. The Chicken King, I would think, is nipping at its heels.
Wow.
Is it a similar vibe? What are the components?
Similar vibe, but even comes in the same sort of like envelope sort of thing. But it's kind of like a mayo and pickles. There's a hot one that's like dipped in a hot. Wash hot liquid.
That one is just okay.
When we get hot chicken, it's kind of dipped in like a hot
like a batter.
It's just
a fried dough or a batter.
No, there's
it's
like
a wash.
I think wash is the term. It's like a
really?
Chili.
Like it would be scraped on, not scraped on, but like but brushed on, like a brush. Would a brush do the job?
I guess you could brush it on a little, but usually I just see them like take. this kind of chicken and dip it in.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-dip wash. I guess Jason's right.
Yeah.
Pre-dip wash. Okay.
So I didn't think that was
chicken
good.
Wash.
Popeye's just the spicy one.
Jason's full of chicken wash.
Jason's just full of chicken wash.
Chasing it with vitamin C and elderberry.
And did you hear he had a frozen Coke as well?
Yeah, that was kind of muttered towards the end.
Well, in the app, it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why.
Oh, yeah.
They give away the bank in the app.
In the apps right now, they're really going to town. Like, you can get a Frosty Chino for free at Wendy's with purchase of any item.
There's a Frosty with the caffeine component.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mm. It's like drinking coffee ice cream.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I don't recommend it every day, but
sure.
So anyway, we're calming down now.
We're getting on the same page here. You did an excellent job of hiding the drinks. That was that was great. With very little,
I think he saw them.
Saw them. I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was just you were having a beverage, or like I said, they could be candles.
He was gonna play the glasses. He was gonna like boo 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 boo.
The mad tea party. Yes, the mad tea party glass. It's just so ubiquitous. I've seen it in your various homes.
I think you were probably with me when it was purchased.
Probably.
It's, it's ubiquitous to you. It's ubiquitous if you've been in where Mike lives.
If you've been where Mike lives, and I have a very strong memory of me and Mike at the bar.
At the Mad Tea Party
was the bar. Okay.
And we ordered I didn't think we'd get to this quickly. I do have it here. Mad Hatio.
You're struggling to find it. You don't know how to say it. Mad-tito.
It was a mojito, and I remember watching them.
Mad-hito? Is that what it was called?
A mad-hito?
That would make a lot more sense than whatever you were trying to say.
Mad-titos.
They didn't have the J in it. Anyway, I watched them pick up the milk jug, like the gallon.
Oh, you've told this story three times on the show.
Probably. Like, just pour this goo.
You realize, you were like, they're not making this fresh.
What?
They have a jug of sugar drinks.
These are not mixologists picked by the Mad Hatter himself?
No.
I realize I didn't cue this up, but I have a photo from the Mad Tea Party. And this is, again, I want to... Okay, real quick. The Mad Tea Party was a music...
Celebration,
festival of fun, celebrating Lewis Carroll's great story, Alice in Wonderland, in addition to some of the greatest hits, modern pop hits of the day and of yesteryear. And it was there for a couple years. And they had it was a lot of staging, a lot of decorations. It really filled out the space from the boring now kind of defunct area.
The Monsters, Inc. and Muppet Vision.
Yes.
The bad Hollywood courtyard.
Right. And, when it was Mad Tea Party time, everything, it was full in there. It was full of life, full of fun, full of
friends.
Friends and love.
Full of friends, yeah.
So that's what we're talking about today.
I don't get it because I wasn't there, man. This is like a festival. I'm not feeling the plur, whatever.
Here's a photo of me.
Here it is.
And look how happy.
2012 iPhone 4 photos.
Yeah, they're a little low res. I'm happy there. I'm a little skinnier too.
Wearing a shirt of Mickey showing his seat, rubbing it thrusting his seat at you.
I kind of look like my eyes are like, I look like a cartoon character in this picture.
You're tripping out on the glow heat.
On the sights and sounds of the Mad Tea Party. I would regularly, and Lindsay's walking around, I would regularly during this period say, are we going to get mad tonight?
Yes, he would. He would do this a lot, especially if it was later in the day and DCA was very crowded. He's like, well, always Mad Tea Party. Can always get mad tonight.
I took one look at a video and I'm like, oh, this is one of those mic things that he's always like cheeky smile, like maybe we could do it. Depending on the group.
That's
the
right.
The group is perhaps, I mean, certainly no one is as on board as you. Jason seems like a good percentage.
Yeah.
Well, we're still getting back to collective experiences, and I would kill to be at the Mad Tea Party right now. I feel like I'm appreciating stuff a lot more.
Strangle someone to death.
Sure, yeah.
End a life to hear a band play a Bon Jovi cover.
That's right.
In a Dormouse hat.
But one thing I had forgotten about this was that this was like opening with DCA 2.0.
The excitement was in the air.
The excitement was in the air. Radiator Springs racers zooming along. All of the cars land.
Trolleys are there.
Trolleys.
Newsboys singing songs about the glory of the 1910s.
Free newspapers.
Suitcase in a Dream was new. A fresh new song being showcased.
People are saying, look, there's a new statue of Waltz, and Mickey's like kneeling on him, and he's wearing a cap, and then they'd headbutt each other. They were so aggressively happy about the statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were there, Scott. You just didn't.
This is what when this opened 2012 to 2016.
Well, there was a break.
There was
between.
A break, okay. And then it came back bigger than ever, seemingly for the anniversary show.
For the
I was at specifically California Adventure in that time so much, and I didn't set foot in this. I didn't do.
Did you know what it was? It was there.
I think I probably caught the name and the vibe, and was like, "No, thanks. That's okay. Leave that for the 15-year-olds."
Oh, 15 year. Are you kidding me? This is full grown adults.
This was 2 year olds.
Full grown adults in big cartoon hats.
And I couldn't find the video. There's a video we had. There were like dance circles of kids breaking out in the middle of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
This was the closest to my Videopolis that existed. Of like a bunch of people having fun at like a concert environment. Now, it wasn't as hip and cool as Videopolis. I know that. I'm not crazy. Okay.
The hippest thing.
This was
that
fun. Videopolis is like a pretty
hip.
CBGB, you know.
It was a scene,
punk
man.
Rock, Gelman Street, punk rock. That's Green Day, where Green Day was from. Gelman Street.
Gelman Street. Do they present this as like, because down on Gelman, we're part of that Gelman scene.
I'm pretty sure.
You thought
don't Google more about Gelman. Put your phone
just
down.
Make sure
back
it was
to
right.
Back to Mad T. Forget I asked
All
it.
Right.
That lonely road he was walking had a name, okay?
Yeah. There's a song, they have an early song called Christie Road. Before that road, so there was a different
Why
sad
do you
road.
Say that excited? What was I gonna do about Christie Road?
Christie Road's a good song.
Oh, Christie Road, that changes everything.
Bruce has Highway 9, Green Day has Christie and Gelman Roads, you know?
Well, Gelman Street.
Gelman Street, sorry. Yeah,
I think that was the name of the venue.
Gelman, yeah, there's a song about you.
Yes,
if there's a Gelman street from Regis, here, apparently. From Regis heard and about Kathy this. Lee. There's a Green Day is the name of the band.
Kelly, what is it, Kelly and Michael now? No, Michael's gone. Kelly and Ryan. Sorry. I couldn't think of what the current version of Regis and Kathy Lee was, and it's Kelly and Ryan. Ryan Seacrest.
Megan McCain's going to come.
It's Kelly, Ryan, and Megan now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this was the couple years this existed. No joke. I wanted to go to it all the time.
Yes.
And I know it's funny, but I do really like it. I know it's absurd and ridiculous, but I do legitimately like it and really wish it was there. I really miss it.
It does. I mean, that area is dead right now.
There's
nothing going on right now. I think this kind of lived and died on the numerous annual pass holders. Annual pass is much less expensive at the time, too. I was getting a haircut once within the first 6 months of this opening. And the hairdresser had like a tiny little top hat on, and I was like,
that's an interesting hat.
And it was kind of pinned in her head, but I was like, I think it's got a string under her chin. And she was like, thanks, do you know about the Mad Tea Party at Disneyland? And I was like, I know exactly what I do know the Mad Tea Party. And she's like, yeah, I'm there like every weekend. And so
the locals love it.
It's fans. Yeah.
Yeah, it did. I'm surprised they got rid of it. I don't know, because Electronica, we've talked about this before, the Electronica Festival, whatever they called it, was there before.
Yeah, and Glowfest before that.
And Glowfest was before that. These were all like music, I don't know, show performances every night.
Yeah, nighttime
stuff. With a vibe.
And with
the heavy bar component, like themed bar.
And Electronica had the arcade, and then the arcade basically stayed for this. And was transformed. They
kind
still
of more
had
carnival game sort of arcade.
Yeah,
games.
Black light in there, not the neon of Tron.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the components were saved. I think some of the structures they reused as well for the stage.
Electronica, I feel like always more empty when I walk through it.
This was so much more popular than Electronica.
This
I feel
was
like.
Insanely popular. I mean, a lot the early like people. people wrote about it. It kind of seemed like they were visually going for, like, yeah, the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland, I think, had been successful.
Yes.
But then it seemed like they were also going for, like, it's like the Electric Daisy Carnival, but without the MDMA and death.
Yes. It is it has a vibe of, like, a douchey Southern California music festival. It has elements of that, where, like, what you're talking about, where it's like you could see some of those structures being sitting on the middle. If it's, I don't know if it's not Burning Man, isn't that, it's not the vibe, but, like, it's a little more Coachella or,
yeah,
what,
but
you just said
the music varieties, like, on one website where it listed as trance, new wave, and dance pop, and, well, I don't think that is accurate. I think in theory, on paper, that was the case, but dance pop is maybe, that's a reach even.
This is some of my, because this came up a couple weeks ago with Jordan Morris, and we were talking about bands, and has Disneyland ever been in step with current music? And then, Mike, you like, right at the top, let's veer it over here. We're not anywhere close to talking about this, so you can breathlessly say how this was, you know, it was really kind of a way for Disneyland to reflect the EDM, the electronic music culture that was going on. That's, which, right. I feel, yeah, like was very progressive for them, and mm-hmm. it was, you know, amazing, you know, to be so in sync with the current pop. And then I watched one video of it, and, like,
you got a smile and it's, well, that's, to me.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well,
wait a minute.
But DJ White Rabbit.
The DJs
was,
are different. My was point was more electronica, and then when the DJs would play, it's the closest thing to hip. I wasn't saying the yeah. set list of the rock band.
But that too, I'm watching the White Rabbit, and it's like, like, yeah, this is a grandmother's idea.
For Disney, I'm saying.
For Disney, and for they Disney. Got Uptown Funk in the rotation pretty
and Uptown
quickly.
Uptown Funk is in the Diamond set list. Uptown Funk is in the Diamond set list.
It's in the Diamond set list.
Open the show on the Diamond set list.
Wait, hang on a second. Everyone stop. What's the Diamond set? Why are you shouting Diamond set list at me as if I know how that's different than anything else?
Because when the show came back, it was during the Diamond celebration. So
for the anniversary.
So when I go to the website that I got all this information on, which of course is mousertainment.com, it refers to that specific set list as the Diamond set list.
So yes. The Diamond set list is more important somehow? Why is Diamond?
It's just saying that.
But you were touting that as, like, a reason it was good.
That was, well, the marketing.
Jason brought up Uptown Funk because it was a pretty new song at this point. It wasn't like it was 10 years old.
It is impressive that that's something remotely within the calendar year.
Yes.
That they're using in a
Now, was the third song What I Like About You? Sure.
Was there a medley of Jesse's Girl and Summer of 69?
Yes,
there was that.
Was there the Time Warp and also In the Air Tonight?
This is what we are describing, a wedding band set list. This is a wedding band is dressed like that, where one's has a Mad Hatter hat and there's an Alice, and the costumes are great, but what. It's a wedding. Oh, and they did We Are Family. Well, they did it with a diamond next to that. Means it's an extra important song.
There are little treats in there that you wouldn't expect. Like, they did do Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson at one point.
That's pretty good.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
They did. There's a Prince song in there. Obviously, it's Let's Go Crazy. It's not like Wonderful Ass. It's not, which would be a B-side.
It's not Jack You Off.
It's not Jack You Off. It's not Pussy Control. It's not those Prince songs.
They did Somebody Told Me, which was not the killer song I thought they would do.
Somebody Told Me is not my favorite killer song.
They did
on that
Shut
song.
Up and Dance.
Yes.
Too.
They have, yeah.
But these are, we're not in exactly in counterculture.
No,
here.
We are.
Killers.
I completely agree with that. They have. Let's see. I'm looking here. They did "Wrecking Ball" by Miley Cyrus, which was fairly new at the time.
That was pretty new. A
couple
of
years old. Which is a song I like. I like that.
I
Miley
like that
Cyrus
song.
Huh?
Yeah.
Scott, how do you feel about "Wrecking Ball"?
I didn't really like "Wrecking Ball."
Oh,
but
that's too bad.
I'm coming off. Look, I know. Look, it's all edgelordy with me. I understand. There's people. I know I'm losing.
You like
listeners.
The Miley Cyrus Mark Ronson songs, you know?
Oh yeah, that one. I forget
Nothing
the name of it.
Nothing breaks like a heart.
Nothing breaks like a heart. Yeah.
It was my my issue with Wrecking Ball is like, why she like had never sung like that before. Like all of a sudden one day, why have you suddenly
against artists evolving? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
I'm against
interesting.
Like sudden hard turns into trendy ways of singing.
Like Sia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I see what you're saying.
Suddenly you're just doing the current.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Diamond set list. Yeah, they did do Come On Eileen in the set list, in the Diamond set list. But these are crowd-pleasing classics.
8 to 80. We're at, you know, California
And I'll
Adventure.
Say this, and this is, you should know this, I mean, maybe I've said this on the show before about me. If you have a free ticket, excuse me, I sounded like I was about to cry. It was burping, I swear.
If you.
Just tell me. These shows mean so much to me. If you invite me to a concert and it's free, I will go to any concert. If it's outside, that's even better. I'll go see Nickelback tomorrow. I'll go see, pick the worst band and see if you can get me to say, I really don't want to see that.
That's how you ended up following the Deplorable Choir on tour.
What is that?
That was those three women who wore the Trump hats and sang songs about Donald Trump.
I do not know the Deplorable
Choir.
Well,
you're lucky.
Would I go to see the Deplorable Choir in concert? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I would not go see them.
Yeah.
That would be no. I would say no.
I'm curious. I would read a review of a
set. You know what?
You know what? It's all originals and like Francis Scott Key, you know.
Well, there was a band around the time of Bush called the Wright Brothers, and they had a song called Bush Was Right. And it sounded a lot like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, only a list of like... things that Bush had gotten right, which of course are all things he got wrong, which are all things that are opposite. But of course, like
all those
Bush
weird phrases
right.
is that was how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah,
that won't get fooled again.
Yeah.
Shame he did have it right.
Yeah, he said the right things at the right time. But yeah, I would see. Like, I guess I would if it was free. If I wasn't giving the Wright Brothers. Whatever they were called,
the
money.
This is up there in obscure references.
I gotta see if that's.
I like this, and like the Bad Tea Party. This is a more recent obscure. This isn't from the 1930s. The Wright Brothers are from this very century.
Mm-hmm. They were the Wright Brothers, R-I-G-H-T, because they were right wing.
Mm. And they're also from the Gelman Street scene, I believe.
No, they were kicked out of Gelman Street. Gelman Street was punk and left wing. No way. So I would go to most concerts. I just like that live music. I don't care if it's good. I don't care if it's current.
Well, what you need to do is just like go to wedding. Just get invited to as many weddings with bands or just
like
start walking
yeah.
into them. No one will mind that you're crashing because you'll be the most excited person there. You're going to love every song. You're going to love...
I've said this before. I do sometimes get annoyed at weddings because sometimes I do feel like the playlist a little too boring. They don't throw in a Rhythm Nation. They don't. I need a thing here and there that is kind of interesting or new. Because I do. I don't.
They're not mixing Uptown Funk with Morris Day and the Time.
Right, which they do
which
in
they
this.
Do.
Did you see that, Scott?
And that's kind of a little. You know, people were saying at the time the reviews
of course,
Uptown
we were all
Funk
saying
were like
that. This sounds like Morris Day and the Time.
Like,
yeah. And they do a little oh yo yo in the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty
a little
great.
Bit of commentary.
Commentary. Yes.
So this is subversive, is what you're saying.
It is subversive, because you know there's a flirtiness between Alice and the Hatter, and that just wasn't present in the original cartoon because it was a child and an insane man. So they got
now,
to do it at the show.
Now, okay, so I guess we really even didn't say that.
We haven't explained the band really.
Yeah,
well, it's only one part of the Mad Tea Party experience.
Yeah, there's that's true.
Multiple stages and acts.
Yes, that's true. But the band itself, yeah, Alice and the Mad Hatter, both dressed in Johnny Depp, Alice in Wonderland, Tim Burton style outfits, a little probably more colorful.
First of all, Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, when this twisted genius gets his hands on the most twisted story of all time, you'll feel like you took a little opium hit when you see that. What if a spiral was crooked? That's the kind of thing you're going to get to see. What if a fence was a weird gnarled fence? That's the kind of thing the king of twistedness, Tim Burton's going to show you.
That's messed.
You'll think you're on laudanum. like it was still widely available.
Is that a weird old drug?
That was a weird old drug. That
what is it?
Laudanum? Yeah.
Laudanum.
Yeah.
You stumped us twice in 7 minutes.
Well.
Not yet. It's our fault.
He's on, laudanum.
Jason's that's on right. laudanum.
My ether rag ran out earlier. So.
And you tried to order a phosphate at Burger King.
Yeah, they just didn't understand.
They know what you meant. Yeah.
Just said mobile order number, please.
Phosphate, please.
You're trying to type it into the app. Override name P H O.
So
I think this is part of it. I think is this movie. I don't want to.
I've never seen these movies. There's two of them.
Either.
I've never seen them.
Not for me.
The first one is like, what, the highest grossing movie of all time or something?
It's up there.
It's an insane success.
Hugely popular in China to the point that they made the like a garden, like a walkthrough, like hedge maze sort of garden designed like the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland characters.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
in Shanghai, you're saying?
In Shanghai, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I put it on before this. I was like, what is I don't think I've ever heard the Mad Hatter talk. I haven't heard the Depp Mad Hatter talk. And then I put it on and it's like, hello, I'm the Mad Hatter. It's like just exactly what, like, Johnny Depp, he's going to create this character. He is an artisan for characters. And when you see, now let's cut to something totally different. What's Mordecai? Oh, hello, I'm Mordecai. All right, now he's going to play General Norman Schwarzkopf. It's a very serious, it's a Gulf War, but it's a very gritty film. Now let's see. Hello, I'm General Norman Schwarzkopf.
What about his cameo in Yoga Hosers? What does
he
sound like in that?
That is different. That is a well, hello, Yoga Hosers.
His reprisal of the character.
Oh, right. He was in Tusk, right?
That's correct.
I've blocked that out of my memory, that whatever he did. He's like a bizarre Canadian in that.
Kind of like an Inspector Clouseau riff, you know?
Like Mordecai. Is Mordecai an inspector?
Inspector. Probably.
What if Mordecai met the love guru?
What if they all met the master Pistachio Disguise? Oh, the master of disguise.
All right.
I didn't know his name.
I would
and
like
I'm
this
like,
movie.
You fool.
Yeah, know, that's
of course, it
sounds good.
Pistachio Disguise. Yes, his family is the Disguisees.
Yeah.
To be the master of disguise. I like master of disguise so much more. You're not wrong to group them together, but in terms of film quality, if I had to watch one of them.
Yeah, I watched
easily,
Love Guru not too long ago. And
oh, we did too. We watched it 2 weeks ago.
The child faced, when his head is on a little boy.
Child face is bad. I very rarely find myself calling like comedy films. Like, stand up can be very mean, but I'm like, oh, that comedy film wasn't mean. But like, that is a mean movie. Like, it is just.
Oh, yeah. He's like mean. It's Vern Troyer. It's like so much shit.
To Vern Troyer.
It's
yeah.
like not even like a little mean. And then
it is. Yes. As Mini Me, he's like. He's but Dr. Like, Evil loves Mini B. He's like, you know, he gets kicked and stuff, but like, and maybe called some weird things. But like, this one, it's all like
it's
this, this little shit.
Yeah, it's really, we were like, why is he so mean to him?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm sure some of that stuff doesn't hold up in Austin Powers, but man, does it not hold up in The Love Guru.
Master of Disguise, a joy. It's a breezy 70 minutes. It'll be done lickety-split.
Can't they run out of like ideas with stuff that's popular and that was popular and start like remake it? Like just a Master of Disguise 10-episode HBO Max show?
Streaming show, yes,
like,
please.
Why not?
Dear God, I think everyone would enjoy that.
I think so.
So we're all losing our minds so much. I think we eat up Master of Disguise, the anthology.
Let's, as I said, let's roll in the slop. Let's do it.
True Detective season 4 just is Master of Disguise. Just hand out, combine the franchises.
Reveal
like a teaser graphic that it's like, hey, True Detective is coming back. And it's just one word, it just says disguise. And everyone's like, what is it? What could that be? What is it?
It's a me.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Mordecai shows up. I'm here too. I'm here too.
Me as well. I mean, thank you.
Is he kind of doing an Edwin, like the little Edwin? Is that,
that's
sort
too
of
fun.
What it,
that's too fun for it's right, like right. Just kind of like odd British is what it is. The thing that all of his stuff is. I'm just like,
yes,
regardless
British.
Of whatever's happening with Amber and whatever. I don't, let's take all, let's put that in another box. I just, no more Depp anyway. separate issue. The movies yeah. have been eating shit for so long. Just no more Depp, please. I think we saw what Depp can
You're
do.
You're just here like there's begging, a... like go back to Hunter S. Thompson. Like go back to the Hunter S. Thompson riffs.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah, he was good at that. Ed Wood was good. Like I liked him.
Scott's declaring war on a certain Twitter account. That's all I hear when he says that.
It truly, we made fun of them for only talking about Johnny Depp and Gina Carano, and it's only gotten worse. They just got no. They it's just tweeted other. Gina Carano snubbed for
stuff for Amy. She was on one episode of the fucking season. What is
who ever believed there was a possibility of Gina Carano pre-cancellation yeah. getting an Emmy nomination?
That, you know. That being said, Don Cheadle did get nominated for like one scene on the opening, the first episode
for
of Falcon 78 Winter Soldier.
Seconds and of screen time,
and he was like, "Yeah, I don't get it either." So maybe Gina could have gotten that.
That's sure. kind of a fun one. I'm rooting for him. Honestly.
Of course, he's great.
Yeah,
he deserves an Emmy. Mm-hmm. But I think he is surprised. Like I was in that for a second. Like what?
One day.
I found more of this, more set lists.
All right.
Also here. Although we didn't finish the explanation.
Can we explain the band? What are you looking
so,
at?
So yeah, you're looking at like as I said, like brighter colored brighter colored versions of the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland and Alice and the Mad Hatter are two young people, I assume from the area, that are just singing. They're not playing guitar or anything. They're just like the two dual singers. And then the band is like has outfits that suggest other Alice in Wonderland characters, like the
yes,
maybe drummer as the Cheshire Cat.
Drummer's Cheshire Cat. The keyboardist is the Caterpillar.
I think that's right.
The bassist is the Dormouse.
Okay.
And then one of them, or is the bassist the March Hare?
I don't know.
The guitarist
they
is
just
one
look
and
like
the
they're in like wigs.
It's not. Sure yeah, are, it's yeah. not. It's. They
like
look
a marching band.
The shirt. Outfits actually look a lot like the Descendants, like the that Disney those Disney movies, The Descendants.
That's true.
Yeah, very popular. Those
very
movies.
Popular. Yeah. The song "Chillin' Like a Villain" I like from the second Descendants movie, but they did not play that at the Mad Tea Party. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
No,
even out
they
yet.
Play a handful of rockin' covers of Disney songs.
There's a few.
There's
they
a
do on birthday.
They
do
on
rock
birthday.
And roll on birthday, which is interesting because then it kind of brings it back more towards Disney, you know? It's not, then it's sort of, it's a different vibe going on.
They're not
on
off in the wiles of yeah. Bon Jovi and Time Warp anymore. The crazy niche.
They do, okay, yeah, they go, they. I'm looking at one of these set lists here. On birthday, and then they go right into Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss.
Whoa.
Which is pretty fun. Let's be honest. Pretty
explain
fun.
With one more sentence. Explain why that is fun.
The song "Rock and Roll All Night" is fun. So,
uh-huh.
So when they play it, it's
and
fun.
On birthday is fun. Okay.
Uh huh.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you're right. The juxtaposition isn't anything special. I guess you're right about that. But the playing of that song is fun.
Okay.
Let's see. They moves like Jagger, which is modern.
Reasonably modern.
In the like broad, in that like this era, that and that was the classical era, that was the Renaissance mm-hmm. era. Yeah, it's technically. Oh, see,
here's what I think you found, and here's why I think you're so upset is that they play "If You're Wondering If I Want You To, I Want You To" by Weezer.
I didn't know that.
Okay,
no, that's no, in the this set. Is all. Well, we're not. We're just digging the hole deeper, the mm-hmm. rabbit hole deeper.
They did a medley of "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" into an NSYNC song. What was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gonna Be Me, I think.
I think yeah. so. I like that. I watched that clip.
Thought that was fun. And the crowd, for most of these, the crowd loves it. The crowd is going wild.
Well, that's not a question, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to let the listeners know maybe they weren't there.
If, yes,
know.
If the listeners were not there and they didn't get to watch,
this
are you
is,
gonna
I'm
be
the
my
most
girl
curious
by Jet?
About this because am I getting just flamed when this comes out? Are
it's
people going to be
I mean, if,
furious?
If you see a picture of this, I think you probably go, I don't, what is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
But if you were there, man. I think you know what I'm talking about. I think you get it if you were there. I think that's
if
the whole thing.
Felt so, the if you felt the rumbling bass of Jackson 5 ABC, if you when you felt those drums.
Let's do this. Let's go watch a little video. We don't have to even have the sound on, just to get like a little walk through. I think this is opening night I think we mentioned on the other episode, it wasn't just the band. It was big props, big set pieces, this giant clock that would count down. I think we would walk by the clock and I'd say, it's almost time to get mad. I think I regularly point that out.
you were right in my case.
Yeah. So they would also have, as we said, two guys doing like a Cockney accent.
Well, they're Tweedledum and Tweedledee, and yes, they're the bouncers.
Yes, and they act and as the bouncers.
Doing a little bit of business. They're doing they some funny. Do,
yes, yeah. I remember interacting with them, and they're wearing lifts, and they have weird costumes, and they look strange.
Here's the concept art for them, Scott.
Uh-huh.
They're big guys. You can get them on a pin.
They're in like Avril Lavigne boots.
They are wearing Avril Lavigne's boots.
And of course, the Hatters are the ones who walk around the park and encourage you to come and tell you the password to get in.
Of course, because there is like still, it's a kayfabe password or whatever you'd call it.
Now, I do. All right. I like this. I like that there is a buildup. I like that.
See, there they are right there. They're like kind of standing guard before the show starts.
I like that there's like a little culture here, and like you're being invited to a secret thing.
Exactly. That's all fun. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of fog. Is it Six Flags? I mean, it is maybe Six Flags level fog. That's a lot of fog if you're watching this video. I'm just trying to get you there. I'm just trying to
monorail
get
going through in the background.
Yeah, I mean, they could have covered, you know, Monsters Inc. whatever up, but then, you know, they get up, they do some fun, and you know, you walk through, and then you get to the, you know, the musical performance here, and then let's go from here
to. Is this where they play like Another One Bites the Dust? I forget what it is. I did see this video.
I think it might be Another One Bites the Dust. I can volume up. Let's see.
I forget which one
the first performance is.
We Are the Champions. No, it's Any Way You Want
by Journey.
Okay.
But I will say, I completely agree with you that if I'm critiquing this as like a guy playing a set on it as a DJ, I go, well, this person has very normie taste in music, and I might turn up my nose at the playlist a little bit, even though I like a majority of these songs. I would say okay, but in the context of Disneyland, in the context of these dumb costumes and this bizarre stage setup, I enjoy watching this, and especially if it's live music. You can play any normie song you want, and I'm going to enjoy it. So I just want to add that bit of context as well, because I am half music snob, half normie idiot when it comes to music.
And the live component.
Especially when you add fucking these guys in these leather.
You know, I realized that as soon as I saw a video of this, I'm like, of course Mike loves this. This is, the lead singer is so much the vibe of 2010s Aerosmith.
Well,
this is like,
you're
this
right
is
about
latter
that. Yes.
Day, not even 70s, 80s Aerosmith, but recent Aerosmith. These are like, it's like aesthetically so married.
I direct messaged the Park MGM and I said, is there any update on Aerosmith returning for the Deuces Are Wild Las Vegas residency for Aerosmith? They said, Mike, there's no plans right now for Aerosmith to return.
Bruno Mars is coming.
Yes, he is. But yes,
half of Steven Tyler's face fell off. Was it COVID or something? We knew it was buckling, and the day came, and
he grinned too hard. His grin was as big as a Cheshire cat.
He thought about making love in an elevator hard.
Now, Mike, that clip you played us, I think one of the shortcomings of this whole area is it looks remarkably better
at night
when it's dark. When
of course,
it's dark, because
yeah.
This is like,
I will say, you get the Monsters Inc. almost blends in.
Well, because they like paint it like blacklight paint on some of the door frames.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like it kind of blends into the background when it's dark out and
Jason,
lit.
Great point. The show was a little better the night.
Yeah,
so that was for sure true.
Especially like when they would just like not have the like clock turned on. It was just looked like
sometimes the clock would not be turned on. Yes,
a set, just a set.
Like during the day and nothing's happening, the whole area looks a little trashy, and you might, and the whole area is trashy in general, and none of us like this area, so maybe you walk by it and don't explore further.
So you see that they had like all these different pieces of furniture set out, these big gaudy pieces of like pink plastic furniture, which I think are cool and were fun to sit in. It's, again, I'm burping because of this drink, not because I'm emotional looking at a pink plastic chair.
Doff protests too much, I think.
I swear I'm not going to cry tonight. I swear I'm not going to do it. So they had all this stuff. I mean, looking at the different, like, any type of band offering that Disney has, this is so much above and beyond what they would normally do. I feel like Mr. Chapek will never give us the level of theming for a cover band performance of all of our favorite hits of the last 30 years.
This is an odd level of Chapek hatred. But
see that nighttime, but that looks fantastic. That looks pretty good.
It does. Look, I like light up Disney things. This is not my complaint. This is cool.
So there's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. There was so many light. Like, there's this area that they're standing in front of here was just like a light show dance area. And that's where I'm saying there would be like dance circles with like children would be going in and doing stuff. Teenagers would be going
in. Well, this entrance is the rabbit hole. You're going down the rabbit hole. Thank you.
This was the rabbit hole. There was so much more thought put into this. Then almost every, like, there's no, like, Tomorrowland band stages is fine. You hear all the same songs, but the amount of theming to theme, let me look at the list to pull up a song we haven't heard before.
This is Halloween. That was too specific.
Karma Chameleon.
Bring Me to Life from the Daredevil soundtrack.
Rolling in the Deep by Adele. You know, the amount of
lyric censored covers of Nirvana to hear.
Think again. We've talked about this. This whole show is about theming. You know, because if you take away all the theming of your favorite ride, what is it? A little boat? That's boring.
Yeah.
So yes, if you take away all the theming of the Mad Tea Party, it's just Moves Like Jagger, which I agree is not so spectacular. But down the rabbit hole with your two English friends here, with the neon, with the drink me menu that we haven't even gotten to yet,
doing bits. Gently teasing you.
Yes. Gently. That's what I'm saying. It's all the fun.
They're calling out.
They have, look at this. On the back of their head, they had tattoos.
They had D and Dumb.
That said D and Dumb. Again, this is above beyond. This is Iger, I think, at the top of the money spending time in Disney California Adventure, because they needed to bring people back.
You think that Iger put a lot of time into the D and Dumb tattoos and that Chapek spends most of his time ensuring
that
disrespectful crap never happens on my watch?
Well, I'm hoping to be proven wrong. I'm just worried that that is the case.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum making a mockery of fully bald folks. I won't have it. I am not a fool. I am not dumb.
Yes, that's I think there will be no more head tattoos.
And there's no reason they couldn't put this all back up in like a long weekend. Hey, this could all
Jason,
be back.
I've been saying that every time we go to Disneyland since
this area really hasn't changed. Like nothing besides like the one soundstage's Marvel Shop-a-mania right now. Like
this whole thing.
Was just going to say, like, they could have this up and running. Actually, the shortcoming of it would be there's no annual pass holders at the moment to be regulars.
That woman cutting her hair would go probably because she was an annual pass holder.
She would go, for sure.
She'd get her little hat out and get her pass and then go do it. But yeah, then
that little hat's just like tumbling through a dusty alley right now. She just tossed it with a tear in her eye, knowing this would never return.
Yeah. It's sad. I do get also a Vegas vibe from a lot of this stuff too, which is what I really enjoy as well.
It's very Vegas-y.
This drink me bar sign is not so aesthetically pleasing, especially in the daytime, but this feels like, you know, Chris Angel drink area or drink bar, whatever you'd call it. And then they had, look at this. This is on the ceiling. Look at that. It's a table.
It's a cocktail table. Yeah, it's a bar.
The drinks are upside down.
That's right.
It's upside down, you know?
Look at that. Look.
Look at
the
it.
The audience,
like
look.
It. Like it.
This is a big key.
And then, yes. So, Jason, do you have the menu closer to you?
I don't. Here, I can find it, though.
Okay, yeah. So this
I can see Coca-Cola, Sprite, Dasani, several types of Fuse.
Did they still carry Fuse everywhere in Disney?
I think they switched to Gold Peak.
Okay, because Fuse was their like tea of choice for many years, but I don't ever think I ordered a Fuse. Have you ever had a Fuse?
I have. It's not great.
Yeah. I think Fuse is just as a word put me off. But maybe that's just because annoying. I never had it. Yeah.
I think it was Coca-Cola's offering at the time, and then they switched to, Gold Peak.
I can't read it so good, but I do see Mad Hat-ito. And I see what you're saying, Jason. Without the J, the pun is more difficult.
Yes, it's the Mad Hat-ito, the Mad Long Island Iced Tea Party. Pretty good.
I think I had one of each over the few
years.
You
did every one?
Not in one night.
Wow.
But I went to this so much. Although what's funny is, and we'll get to it at the end, there's something they would do at the end of the show that I didn't even know, because who I was with usually after 30 minutes would be like, okay, we can go do something else, right?
No.
Even if they weren't mad.
No,
at
we
me.
Can't.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what I would say. But
this, I was so curious. What was Lindsay's? What did Lindsay think of this?
I think she was, I mean, she's not a big concert person in general.
Oh, you're blaming it on concerts, well, not this.
She's upstairs and I don't want to bother her.
It's like she wouldn't, I don't know, like she's not that into Time Warp followed by Boys of Summer.
Love means I don't know. Never having to say you're sorry, so. Croquette Teeny.
Love story.
Love story, that's right.
Ride or deal. So she wasn't a huge fan of the Mad Tea Party or anything, but she would go watch some songs with me. Mm-hmm. She would go indulge.
That's very nice of her.
Very nice of her, yes. But they look, she likes old timey crap. She likes she likes, so I describe her music taste as like an old lady singing in a little box. Like that's her favorite, like that, she likes that stuff. So
so she listens.
She's like
does
modern
she, does
songs.
She then like Suitcase in a Dream?
She does she like
there's they
like
do a, sing California Here We Come.
There's like a kind of a modern beat in Suitcase in a Dream, but it is an old timey song. I forget if she likes Suitcase in a Dream or not. We'll have to ask her.
Busy time for live entertainment right at this front of the park between Suitcase and a Dream and the Mad Tea Party. They're hiring a lot of singers, dancers, hottest deck in town, the dance crew.
That's right.
The suited dance crew.
I don't know what any of this is.
Oh, they're dancers dressed like, in kind of playing card inspired garb. And
that's
they would
in
dance.
This. So,
that's
okay.
In this. Yes, there's okay. more fun.
There's a whole other stage.
A whole other stage with dancing, with fun. Yeah, it would be like over on the other side, basically.
Yeah,
like across the area. What do you call it? I guess it would be closer to like the arcade.
Yes, and it kind of it's supposed to look like a house of cards. Really, it looks like girders and like metal.
Do we have a picture
lighting
of that?
Rigs?
Probably. Oh yeah, there's a big Drink Me. I have
cotton candy lemonade.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize some of these are just here. I have a couple of those Disney cube light up cubes, but that's from many different ridiculous drinks.
Yeah,
over
I
the
find
years.
Cubes
Croquet
every now and then.
Oh, the Fuse truck. There was a truck, a Fuse iced tea truck. That might not have been real. Oh, I guess it was because it's got hard on it.
That's so gross. Fuse truck.
You know what Fuse's problem? Truck. It doesn't go as far as Brisk.
There's the hat. There what was in there?
I don't think it was.
Is that what you had
I
to
had
drink
Fuse.
To have this?
I guess it was. I guess I had actually had to have drink Fuse to get this.
Go down. What's the caption? What are we? Cheshire Chiller.
Desert Pear. Oh, I just wanted the cup, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, you would hate to choke down a bright pink, icy, am I getting this right? Non-alcoholic
I think
icy?
It's not, I think it was non-alcoholic, yeah, because it probably was in a fun, like, child's cup.
Jabberwocky juice.
Uh-huh.
Hatter's Mandarin Fury. It's a Mandarin origin. You don't know it as Mandarin origin, that is truly inexplicable.
Yeah, that would be very confusing. This is some of the costuming for the people working.
This whole thing is great if you love Russell Brand. You're a big Brand head.
Oh, I didn't mention that. I was.
But you don't want to hear him talk about atheism. If you're like, I want my brand without my atheism.
Of course.
Just want him to feel the flow, man. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like we need to hear more from him lately. That's all I think. Because he had a really hot couple of years, and now he's like just doing a podcast.
I met him once.
When was that?
I was interning at UCB, and he was testing out his monologue for the movie awards.
Oh, I thought you had to drive him. You had to get him to the Greek.
I didn't have to get. Oh, I wish I had to get him to the Greek.
And it was this unforgettable night where
And a woman came in. She's like, "Can I sneak in and watch a little?" And the manager was like, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." And she was like, "Do you know who that was?" Because I didn't really react. And I was like, "No." And she was like, "That was Katy Perry."
Mm-hmm.
But she had just changed her haircut, so I
and that's why did you not didn't recognize her.
No, I didn't know it. She had like the Uma Thurman kind of Pulp Fiction-y kind of hair.
Mm.
So. Well, very tall, both of them hugely tall.
Really?
Russell Brand and Katy Perry. Yeah,
Katy Perry might have been the shoes. Tall.
Let's look up the height.
She's wearing those teal Tweedledee Tweedledum shoes.
I mean, they both might have been wearing little heel mm-hmm. those
I'm
shoes.
I'm looking up Katy Perry height.
I mean, everyone.
I bet
looks
she's
tall
5'8".
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, she seems short. Let's audience.
Katy Perry is 5'7".
Hmm.
She had heels on
heels
or platforms then. Or something.
Must have been the
because
heels.
Because he's pretty tall.
Yes. Okay. So here is in the arcade. This is like the black light, which this is fun. This is legit fun. I would like to, if round one over in Burbank with all the games had this like color scheme, I think that would be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just like fluorescent lights.
Yeah. A little heavy on the fluorescence at the round one.
A lot of fluorescence at that round one. I agree. Look at this character, the walk-around nightmare character.
Now, let's talk about him since he came up. This is a show, this is a character called Who Are You? And he is like a giant walking around slinky thing. I did not know about Who Are You? But when I started researching, he was the first thing I saw. And I was like, I gotta say, Who Are You dances that song, Where Your Head At? And because he don't have a head, and he is weird. Like if you see
a big
video,
rainbow, he's like a slinky mixed with like a roly poly.
If he wasn't funny, like a fun multicolored scheme like that, I think I would hate him. But because of the colors, I think I still have to say I like him. But it is
technically
nightmarish.
Impressive. Yeah, it's nightmarish.
A nightmarish kind of design for like an anthropomorphic being.
Everyone is a very, you know, highly skilled you know, the musicians and the dancers and Who Are You? But I don't know about Who Are You. I think I would be scared if I saw him in person.
We'll link you to this Disney food blog. It did such a great job of hitting all the highlights here. So.
And there's plenty of footage on YouTube.
They're really the Hunter S. Thompson of the Mad Tea
Party. Fear and Loathing at the Mad Tea Party. Fear and Loathing at the Mad Tea Party.
That's right.
I was about 50 feet from Who Are You when the gloat... When the Cheshire Chaser kicked in.
If you stood on the House of Cards stage, you could gaze out into the distance and see where the wave had crested and the water mm-hmm. rolled back.
So this is the stage which Jason was talking about earlier, where you would get playing card dancers who were really impressive is my recollection.
Yeah, and Tweedledee and Tweedledum would introduce them mm-hmm. and do some bits, you know.
It was a lot. There was a lot there. And then there's the man himself.
DJ White Rabbit.
And there were many DJ White Rabbits.
A backwards hat and with glowing...
Yes.
Backwards white hat with glowing white
DJ
rabbit ears.
There were five prominent DJs. I guess I have to list them now. DJ Adam Auburn, Vind3R.
Move on. Didn't get it fast enough. Next name.
They did get to say their names. They
DJ
got to say
Michael
DJ.
Paul, DJ Jason Jass, DJ Missy B, DJ David Bullock, and then this is somebody we haven't talked about on the show before, but we were very familiar with her, DJ Wendy Walker. Does that name mean anything to you two? There is a woman named Wendy Walker who DJs everywhere in Disneyland, and Lindsay and I have just run into her. We don't know her, but we've run into her DJing at the 80s night. She's DJed at the Fantasy Fair area where people dance. She DJs as the White Rabbit. She plays maybe keyboard or DJs at the Tomorrowland stage. We've run into her everywhere, and she's like one of the most prominent like Disneyland DJs there is, and her name is DJ Wendy Walker, and she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she also would do the White Rabbit here. So I bet she's probably got the most Disney DJ experience, at least at this point.
The White Rabbit, that seemed like I'm not going to say an easy gig, but it seems like a pleasant gig. Like they would do in between the bands. They didn't have to do a lot of movement. You could just kind of DJ. I don't know.
I don't know. Do you think being a DJ seems like it's easy?
No, not at all. I'm sure it's a craft that takes a lot of, learning and work like anything.
I was really hoping you said,
Oh, I don't want any beef with the DJ community.
Yeah, you fucking hit a button. What do you mean?
Of course, throwing records at you like ninja stars.
Yeah,
I just mean in terms of like labor for like people doing these shows. Like even the like main band, like the singers had like some light choreography.
Oh yeah, well they're still singing three shows a night.
Oh, that'll wreck your vocal. Yeah,
but as far as like
very draining
finger for the one button that a DJ has to push every 5 minutes.
Why? It sounds like you have the fuse
lazy
DJ community.
Sack of shit DJs.
You were hoping Jason was on board with you. Oh, you've been waiting to make this rant.
Oh, I'm so mad at DJs.
All of them but Wendy.
All of them Wendy. Wendy's great. Yeah, I don't want to make Wendy mad. So that's DJ White Rabbit. And it was just like there was so much going on and the show was so long, you wouldn't like you would catch different parts of the show. I mean, again, because nobody would let me just stay there the whole time.
Did you ever do it by yourself?
Maybe. I may have walked over there and somebody was like...
Are you like, one of these days, I have to go do this for 5 hours. I don't know how long it ran for.
That's a good point. I don't think I ever had that thought. I don't think I was thinking... I guess I was thinking it would never go away. I think it kind of went away quickly. All of a sudden, and I think if I knew, we should have gone down for the last one, and I would have done the whole thing.
Well, the second engagement was like a year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, yeah. So, no, I didn't have that thought, but as you say that, I'm regretful that I didn't.
So were you upset that like, so it just went away, and it's like Anderson Cooper wasn't even talking about it. Like, the media didn't even address it.
They didn't, yeah, there was no ABC
Why
special.
Why is no one talking about this?
Farewell for it. And it was replaced by a much worse thing that lasted very, like...
I don't even remember.
I forget. Yeah. There was some like generic sort of like summer festival thing, and it couldn't even... They barely put any work.
It was the Lone Ranger rave. People are pretty pissed.
The Lone Raver.
DJ Tonto.
It's me, DJ Tonto. Boo.
It's
okay.
Me, DJ.
Sorry.
DJ Tonto.
It's me, Tonto. I'm DJ Tonto.
Now, there's a funny picture of a person here who was obviously upset about electronica going away.
I heart Tron, but this will do for now. Uh-huh.
So he was a big electronica fan, which I also like electronica a lot.
It was much more sinister.
But electronica, was like a dark, more of an EDM festival.
Some of those like kind of dark Daft Punk score songs.
Well, they dance the party, the world that they're going into, when they get to the rave, the Tron rave in Tron Legacy, it is a very it's a grim scene. That's not really a fun party.
Right.
Oh, not like the one at, it should have been fun, like the Zion rave in The Matrix.
Matrix 2, yeah.
Matrix 2.
The horn.
Who's got those theme parts? Nobody's, there's no Matrix.
That's a good question.
It's Warner, so they're screwed. All right, nothing Warner can ever be anywhere.
Well, Warner Brothers did experiment with kind of like haunts and stuff that one Halloween season.
Well, I was just thinking this. I've seen people, there's like a new kind of elaborate studio tour.
Oh, they buffed up the studio tour.
And like, part of it's like Harry Potter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we get free tickets and do that?
I mean, if they'll have us, sure.
I mean, because it's very close. We can go drive 5 minutes.
This
is a way to do it. Yeah, I've never done that tour.
Yeah, I've never done it. But if they have like more themed stuff, I think, to walk through. It's not haunts, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. Matrix will never... You would think there would have been a generic, like, Six Flags Matrix coaster.
That's just green lights and that's it?
That's... Well, like, maybe it, like, hangs you and it's, like, bullet time or something. Like, it's some... like, it doesn't really apply, but they use the phrase.
Dr. Smith. No, wrong. That's
Matrix 4 is coming, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's always this time.
Mr. Anderson.
Okay. Is it not even Smith?
Oh, Mr. Smith. He's the bad guy.
Okay. This is Mr. Smith Spinners.
Agent Smith.
Agent Smith.
And Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
It was what Agent Smith says.
Yeah.
He calls him Mr. Anderson.
Oh, and they're all being played by the Merovingian. The master manipulator.
Wait, who?
The Merovingian. What? That was one of the other weirdos in the sequels.
Oh, is that three?
He's in. I think that he's the one they're trying to get to in the second one.
I've been stumped again. Three.
You stumped us
stump
the third
Patrick.
Time.
Ding,
we watched.
He's not the guy with the TVs.
Ago.
He's like the guy who's like very rich.
Look up how tall he is.
Oh, is he 5'7"? Oh, I think Russell Brand might be tall. But am I taller than him? I bet I'm taller than Russell Brand.
Guy, okay, I'm going to have to talk about something. You're both Googling facts. I don't have, I've got nothing. I didn't look up what this is. There's a guy in a, you're making me cover. There's a guy in a blonde wig. I have nothing here. Find your facts. And
oh, a blonde wig, like the twins from The Matrix Reloaded.
6'1 is what he is.
Dr. Smith 1 and 2, the twins.
Yeah. Oh, okay, wait, I found the
this
replacement.
This guy, the Merovingian. Remember
the Merovingian?
Oh, he's the guy in the
restaurant. He's the guy in the restaurant with the women. Are there two women with him? Yeah, I remember that.
Find the next drink name or something. We've talked enough about the Merovingian.
So, yeah, I didn't remember that was his name. That's a good poll, by the way, if that's accurate, unless you've just completely butchered the character. The replacement was a temporary Freeze the Night, a family dance party inspired by Frozen.
Well, yeah, all that. Yeah, anything they threw in related to Frozen is all trash. And I don't think it's the fault of Frozen. They didn't anticipate it. And then, like, we need as much Frozen as humanly possible. We don't care what it is.
The quick Frozen solutions didn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yes, no fault. And then, of course, so I mean, that's the gist of the Mad Tea Party. They had a Halloween set list, you know, where they would do a lot of the same songs, but they would do, you know, they would do Enter Sandman.
And This Is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas.
And Thriller, in one way or another.
Oh, because it's about Getcha.
I'm gonna getcha. Won't, yeah.
It's kind of about a pursuit.
It's about
that
pursuit.
Is a scary song if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people have to do Halloween adjacent. Like you have to what's that word about co-opting retcon? You have to retcon like Rockwell, Somebody's Watching Me into Halloween. I see things like that happen. Mm-hmm. You have to all right, that's kind of, yeah, it's scary. It's about like paranoia.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who could it be now? That's Halloween. That's a Halloween song. We all agree it's in.
Because they have mask on. Killer has a mask on. Like Myers mm-hmm. has a mask on. I mean, they know
it's
can
it be now? But it's like, who are you? The slinky guy.
Who are you by The Who?
Well,
yeah, it's
you?
A mystery. That's a scary song. It could
you?
Be Dracula.
It could be Dracula.
The caterpillar says, "Who are you?" in Alice in Wonderland. Oh, I think that's why.
You? Oh,
yeah.
So he should sing "Who Are You" by The Who.
Have we talked about the? This is like a Kevin Perger and Defunctland discovered this fact long ago. And this was it. I give him credit for making this prominent, but I was a real latecomer in. There was the show Adventures in Wonderland, the Disney Channel show. Mm-hmm. And do you guys know where I'm heading with this? The bizarre fact about this show?
That I don't know.
There was there's a number of episodes, like there's, you know, whatever, 80 episodes or so, but only 79 exist and can be seen anywhere because the one episode that they don't show anywhere has a guest appearance by O.J. Simpson.
Oh, right.
And this was filmed and ready to air in 1994. Like it was like on the cusp.
Oh, wow.
When it happened, and it's about like the rabbit. Maybe I'm wrong on the character, but it's like the rabbit wants to be an athlete or play football or something, and then real O.J. Simpson walks into his room and hey, it's me, OJ. And then OJ's in Wonderland then later. And they didn't do this ever. They didn't have real people in the show.
Wow.
So just in this one instance, hey, it's me, like the rabbit. Oh, if only I could meet some great athlete like OJ Simpson. But weirdly, images of it are pretty prevalent because they made a book of the episode.
What?
There are only like three or four that they were. Right, let's you know, rush out our little paperbacks of Adventures in Wonderland, and one of them happened to be this OJ episode, and it was already off to presses, too late, can't pull it back.
That's insane.
Copies on eBay. I looked immediately. Copies are like $600.
Yeah.
You bid $600. Have to have this.
Well, no, Aaron caught me doing it and said, no.
Kick the mouse out of your hand.
The baby doesn't need formula every day.
The baby needs a story to be read to it every night. This is for the baby.
And so the rabbit wished and wished. And who should walk in but OJ?
How did you learn to read? Like, did your parents read to you when you were younger? Oh, yeah. Well, what were some of your favorite books?
This Alice in Wonderland book that had, you know, Alice, O.J. Simpson, the March Hare.
Oh, okay.
All my favorite Alice characters. Uh-huh. Tweedledum, O.J., Tweedledee.
That's like when I sent you a screenshot of, I forget what, maybe it was Tubi, if Tubi has the Here's Lucy catalog on it. Where I was like, this is a shot of Gail Gordon, Lucille Ball, and O.J. in like 1978. here's some names of the arcade games from the Mad Arcade.
While you pull those up, let me try and refresh your guys' memory. The Merovingian is married to Persephone. Monica Bellucci's Persephone.
Monica Bellucci, yes, okay.
She was one of the big, she's
just start. We're reading the names.
Read the names.
Okay, the Mad Arcade, okay, and it had games such as Whack-A-Hat and the Bandersnatch Ball. So...
Arcade kind of makes less sense at this dance party than they
didn't
want to
do
Tron.
Too much stuff. They had to keep some of the
stuff
from Tron.
They yanked all the vintage games for Wreck-It Ralph. So
right, that's true. That was a little bit of an afterthought, but still, I'm talking like Johnny Depp now. The effort was there. The effort was everywhere in every aspect of this show, and that's what I very much appreciate about it. Because you take this and you put it. What was some of the band? What was the cover band at Tomorrowland?
Suburban Legend.
Suburban Legend.
Okay.
If they did this song, I'd say, oh, these the songs. I would be like, yeah, great, great, fun Disney set for the normies. Mm-hmm. And then I would not be doing a Patreon episode about it.
It's because there's the whole approach. They really made a little world back there.
Yes.
They took, it is what raves do, where they take a rundown, derelict warehouse that feels not even safe to be in, and they fill it with life and a party. And that's what that Hollywood area has felt like for many decades now.
I found this
true to the rave experience.
I found this video somebody cut together, a Mad Tea Party experience it.
Uh-huh.
And this gives you really like you were there. This makes you feel kind of the vibe. Now, I don't know what this music is. I don't know if they played this at the Mad Tea Party, but this is how excited people were. They were dancing. They were being themselves. They were just being their authentic selves. Look at this guy in a tank top dancing.
They were being fireworks, baby.
They were, yes.
Make them shoot up,
you don't
up
see...
as they shot into the sky.
Right. You don't see people dancing like this.
These
at
people
Disney
don't
anymore.
Feel like plastic bags.
No. No, they don't. I'm probably in one of these shots. Let's be
honest. June 2012, between the dog on top of his station wagon and the binders full of women, the Romney campaign's over. A second Obama administration is a foregone conclusion at this point, and these people are celebrating.
Yeah, Jason's going to be in this video like spinning on his head in the middle of the circle, and I'm cheering him on. Doesn't this seem fun? Even taking all the irony out of it, I'm not saying this is as good as like a cool rock concert.
You have not gotten me on board with liking this, but you have gotten me on board with that maybe I would have stopped at this and enjoyed it for 20 minutes.
I mean, that's a victory as far as I'm concerned with this episode. I knew this was a battle uphill, and I didn't think I was going to win.
Rewatching all these clips, it's really... I did not appreciate it at the time. I think I enjoyed revisiting it now.
You were right before, Jason. You shot past the correct answer.
No, Lindsay, I don't like big crowds usually, especially back then. But now I'm
You don't usually go to a concert with me because you were more of a... No, we went to New Pornographers at the Ace Hotel.
So New Pornographers. There's the dancing. Who are you?
Who are you? Yes.
Yeah.
When I would suggest that you would laugh and you would go with, but you weren't like as nearly as excited to see this as I was. But
no, because you would you were ready to post up.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you regret how you felt about it at the time. You like to apologize. Would you mind apologizing to me now?
I'm very sorry. I'm sorry,
I just put more elaborate on it more.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
why?
Sorry
what
that
did you
I
do
was
wrong?
Like a little more anxious. Didn't want to hang out back there for too long. And now I'm a little more leveled out. And I would love to be at the Mad Tea Party right now. I'd kill to be there, honestly. And I'll kill again. I've killed before. I'll kill again.
I'll kill as many people as it takes.
However, I accept that apology.
Whatever it takes to summon DJ White Rabbit to his MacBook Pro, I'm ready.
That lazy piece of shit rabbit.
Okay.
DJs are so lazy.
No, that's you. That's you talking.
Is that it? Did we survive?
No, wait, no, no, there's one more thing.
No.
One more thing that I do think is funny and bad, and I need to play it, because I did not, I never knew. Jason, this couple hours ago, texted me, did you know about this? And I went, Jason, this is the exact thing I said I needed to play.
And so I do want to set up, so when the second time they brought it back, that big teapot, that big, like, kooky teapot behind the band, but taken away. It seemed like that had been moved or taken away, and yes, it seemed like the screens really
amped up. Yeah, we can't get done with
up.
The episode before we explain that the giant teapot on stage was taken away for the last run of the show.
It was taken away, and the graphics and video content kind of amped up.
Yes. So Jason's getting emotional, too, is what's happening. This is, I really shouldn't play all of this, but there's little chunks here. This was like kind of the closing thing, and it is... pretty embarrassing.
You're saying that after all this.
Embarrassing.
Now,
here.
Hey, brother.
Yes, brother.
Well, I think it's time.
Absolutely.
Not this part. These guys are great.
Yes.
So this is the big finale, basically.
What's set the stage?
Well, that's
what's
a little
on?
Like.
Sorry. Yeah.
Music box kind of wind-up toy.
And Tweedledee and Tweedledum have, like, started it, and now it's playing, and
yeah.
You can hear it.
And the motion graphics are just starting, because they
yes.
go wild.
And again, I did not know about this. I apologize to the show for never seeing it, because I really would have liked to have seen this.
There's a cutesy moon
yes.
crescent.
And there's video, I think, of the opening of the second run of this, where you tumble down the rabbit hole and you go buy a bunch of vintage Disneyland tickets and you go buy the modern annual pass holder logo, and then it opens the door to the tea party.
Yes. So there's rock is Scott pointed out, rock and guitar when you wish upon. So Walt, okay, by the way, we should go back, actually. Walt.
There's more.
Walt just started talking, by the way. And then they go from When You Wish Upon a Star into the song Best Day of My Life.
What's this song?
It's a song that...
Oh, it's in a lot of insurance commercials, Gap commercials, fast food commercials. Like, that's really where I do it.
I had to look it up. It's by the American Authors. A name
never
I've
heard this.
Never heard of this.
Yeah.
It's not a song.
Please, let music keep being this for more decades. How many O's and A's?
This is a real... You've never heard this?
This is, peacetime decadence. We didn't know what was coming 4 years later. We had no idea what was in store for us.
Everything is, stems from the politics of the era, but okay. Walt and a bunch of frames.
So Walt has appeared now in the back of a bunch of frames. You can hear him talking. They have spliced in.
Wow. And they're all masturbating to just at seeing Walt. They all have big boners.
So there's like all these pictures in the back and like of Disney. As if they're like saying goodbye to Disney. The American Authors, I guess, are paying tribute now to Walt somehow. And then, they just go like this.
More Walt clips.
And, they just splice in Walt for some reason at the end of this. And as the dancers come up on stage and do a big finale.
Hottest deck in town.
The hottest. Thank you. The dancers are the hottest deck in town. And I never got to see this live. I never got to see this big finale that I think is really funny. Because of I don't know why would you put who gives a shit, why would you put Walt in there?
The anniversary was all about the history of Disneyland.
Yeah, but it's not like the whole show was like a salute to Walt.
No, but if you scroll to the very end.
Yeah like
yeah. Yeah, it's just a giant Disneyland logo that flips to a giant Mad Tea Party logo that explodes into diamonds.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were really pushing the diamond thing. They really wanted to, I guess, to, like, because they didn't have a new fucking ride for that person.
Yes, I remember we were disappointed that there was not a crazy... They put the Hatbox Ghost on Haunted Mansion.
That was it. Like, and they coasted on the Fantasy Fair for
Yeah, but
ages.
They decided they would put some clips of Walt in the Mad Tea Party, mm-hmm. and maybe that the audience will be satiated.
They coasted on the Fantasy Fair.
They
yeah,
did.
We're good for a while. We put one thing in one corner.
There really wasn't much new stuff until Galaxy's Edge.
They did
in Disneyland Classic.
And what I think I've told the story before is that they had a big event a year prior to the Diamond Anniversary, and because I was clicking fast, I got tickets to the like special fan event, mm-hmm. and they were supposedly going to announce a bunch of rides, and then they didn't, but instead they gave us a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah, you got a big paperweight.
You got a big paperweight. I got like a fast pass, like classic fast passes to everything. I got like a food. We got like free food at Disney. And it was like, we forgot real quick that it was like supposed to be an announcement of like the great stuff coming.
It worked.
But it worked.
Yeah.
Shut you up.
It was great. We took a picture with Anna and Elsa. We were like, we got fast passes. Wow. No one was like, there's rides aren't going to be here. We're not going to be happy with the offerings. Didn't matter.
You just wanted to party with Mad Hatter.
Well,
this look, also, because I flipped through this too, and a lot of the videos are from the last night that this band performed. And look, I don't hold it against them. Emotions run high on the last night of anything. I know some shoot ends of something that nobody ends up seeing, and mm-hmm. you still make a speech because you really went through something. I don't hold the emotion against them. But you do... I'm just flipping through. Like, they're doing like a Conan Last Tonight Show level, like... Because I want to say one thing before we leave the stage. And that is to be kind. Because kindness is what makes the world go round. And maybe if everyone was a little bit kinder, like, okay, look, you are dressed like the Johnny Depp Mad Hatter. You just did a cover of Separate Ways. You did a medley of Jump, Jive, and Wail and Stray Cat Strut. And now, like, because if all of us work together to bring love into this world...
I mean, it's very funny, but also maybe they touched as many hearts as Conan did on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
You know?
The declining viewership of late night television for the last
right,
10 plus
know,
years, you're
right.
probably right.
In a lot of ways, Jay was right. You know, Conan possible. Wasn't getting the ratings.
You know?
So, if he wasn't getting the ratings.
Jay's ratings were way down, too.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying, Conan, like, look, if you're not getting the ratings, look. Yeah.
I've been more overall, but there is a video of, like, one, it's probably one of the last nights, and they say, I know some of you have been here all weekend. Like, there were regulars, you
yes.
know?
Yes. That's what Colin yes. said, too. You've been here in the rain. You've mm-hmm. been, like...
Oh, yeah.
People... yeah. People protested. People tried to burn the park down.
Team Coco. What's the Team Coco
team
for
Coco.
The Mad Tea Party? Get back.
Team T.
Look, Team T. Yeah, Team T.
We're Team T now.
They brought TNT to the park and said, Mad Tea Party goes, we all go.
Yeah.
There were so many suicide bombers in the last weekend of this.
It's a very popular show. I mean, look, we can still try to get it back, I think. I think there's still a chance.
Again, there's like nothing over there.
I know.
I'm sure it costs a bit of money for all of these.
That Summer of Heroes,
because
they can't call it Marvel or something. The Summer of Heroes
bleak.
Was rough.
Yeah.
With the Guardians ride's great, but that Summer of Heroes where you just get to like watch Black Widow drive around in an armored vehicle, and that was basically the entertainment. But I was like, they have the Guardians of the Galaxy is a good soundtrack that a regular person would like. Why don't you just have a band play that? And they did not do that.
Yeah, they have a little
dance
party.
That's a good idea. Actually, yeah, having a band kind of dresses all the characters. And if there's a raccoon drummer.
Yeah, they did a little more of a version of it in Epcot. They do it like outside with a boombox. They do a tiny show.
Yeah, tiny show.
But yeah, play those songs. They didn't do that. And it doesn't feel like there's any room for fun. Like a fun thing like that in Avengers Campus.
No, because it's just the, spy agency torture of just the Avengers mm-hmm. soundtrack played forever.
That's I wonder if it's still like that. I'm so curious. That
I am
miserable.
Too. Yeah.
Doctor, yeah.
It seems like right after we were there, like a week or 10 days later, all restrictions were pretty much dropped. So people just walk into the land. Just
yeah,
everyone
sure,
just walking
sure.
through. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I made the wrong call on that one.
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But yeah, Doctor Strange should come through the portal and be like, "This is the best day of my life, but I don't think that's gonna happen. They're gonna have to build another stage or something.
Marvel rocks. I'm on board with all of it. So
would you?
More.
What is it, theming wise? Do you think same set list, but if you put a different property on it or a different aesthetic, would that go a long way into your?
I think the liking? Jack FM set list is a big roadblock that's a big, for me.
Okay, so that's probably the primary.
But you know, one thing I think just. The request number one, have we not experienced Don't Stop Believing enough?
I agree.
Can we
with
not
that.
Have we like
yes
this is or, I think we've all had our time with it, we've all it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah,
it's time to like this, it's time for it to explode into diamonds.
There's a,
and
like,
never be played by a band again.
There's a lot of those. I mean, we should do a Patreon of songs we all think should never be played again. Which there's less. I don't know that I even would put that one on there.
And we've turned this box as many times as it can be turned.
I'm Sweet Caroline is out for me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's retired. Jason, do you have one to throw in the pile?
I don't know.
So good, so good, so good.
What? I don't like it.
I have nothing. That's in my top 10 things that annoy me.
Yeah, I am really. It annoys me, yeah. I don't even think I put Don't Stop Believing in this like top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I get that. But you have one? No?
No, Don't Stop Believing was up. I feel like every party I went to in college, like in the 2000s, someone would put that.
Everybody
up.
Like discovered it, and I kind of liked. I don't know. I didn't feel like I had my time with it. I feel like I discovered Journey, and then the journey ended. we're covered on that. Enough dueling piano bars.
laid the problem waste is to this. The problem is your average person doesn't go hard on the B-sides of anything. Like the average person knows 20 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at these places are like, we want to make those people happy. So
makes sense. But you're saying add another.
Yeah, if you could, yeah, take any property, probably Disney, just for the mental exercise, just like to overlay it with an aesthetic with the same set list that you think maybe would improve this 25%.
What do I want to see a rave of?
Yeah.
I mean, some sort of like, I'd be interested in a 2013 glam Winnie the Pooh, where it's like guys in big, it's a bright, like British trench coat.
Uh-huh.
These people are meant to represent Rabbit and Eeyore.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm way on board with that. That's really weird. That would be very, very odd.
Yeah. 100 Acres of Rock.
Yeah, there's stuff that makes sense. Like, it doesn't have to be a hyperspace hoopla, but I like elements of it. Like, just have a band, have Figure and Dan and the Modal Nodes or something.
Well, I was
that would make
yeah.
too much sense to do. I guess
no,
I'd even,
I want to see like Darth Vader playing a guitar, like hyperspace hoopla, like six, and it's Battle of the Bands. Like that would be very fun.
Best day of my life. I agree. Dumb. I want it to be dumb as hell.
Are the Avengers? Yeah, even just all the Avengers, mm-hmm. like people in Avengers costumes.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, but that makes it would have to be 10 years ago. Everything is too serious, I think.
Yes.
So it would have to make sense. They would have to have a character that plays music in the movie, I think, or they'd have to have Hawkeye do it because. Jerry Renner.
Hawkeye rocks. Hawkeye is Rockeye, and now, and he does the Jeremy Renner song.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
If he did the
Heaven
Medicine,
don't have
oh
a name?
Man, if he did, yeah, Heaven Don't Have a Name, Medicine, the Jeremy Renner cover of
House of the Rising
House
Sun.
House of the Rising yeah. Sun.
And then he takes his guitar picks and puts them on arrows and shoots them into the crowd.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
I mean, the answer for me is just there's no bad. The suggestion for this. There's no bad overlay to put on this, to put on these songs.
Yeah.
So
take any Disney property. Take Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin.
Great, yeah.
the kids from Prom.
Doing Prom. Actually, that's a good idea. Doing Prom back here. You go, everybody goes
yeah.
to Prom.
That's
sure.
true. That is a movie that I only mostly know because they had posters of it back in this area.
Yeah, I was like, what is I don't really prom? Know what it is. But if it's prom theme, you know what I would like is a prom theme thing where like all the drinks are like the bar is kind of hidden. And so you're like, it's meant to evoke that you're sneaking it in. So they give you drinks in like a like an old water bottle.
Oh, yeah. Dirty yeah, Gatorade fun. Bottle with yeah. or a Gatorade bottle with a label removed.
Yeah. A little bit of the paper sticking yeah, around. Some yeah. It's sticky all torn up.
On it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Artemis Fowl and its many friends and cohorts.
Run, Cougar, run.
Oh, yes, which we just discovered in the Musketeers episode. Yeah.
Any of those.
It's Bullwhip. It's Bullwhip.
I will say, also, just from going to Videopolis when the 80s night they had, it is nice to have, I feel like these places, you get a little energy, a little jolt at like a 9 p.m. If you're going all night, if you're going to midnight. You get a little live music, you get a little bass, and then you're ready for another 3 hours. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wake people up a little.
I do like stopping by a thing, dancing for 1 minute, like no longer than that, doing a quick little pass through. And yeah, you're right. It does give you, like, you a little speed ramp.
A little boost. Yeah. And then if you happen to be like when they played like Rhythm Nation, then you would be like, wow, very impressed. And then you would have, if there was a chance you could have just wandered by during Rhythm Nation and thought that they were playing like some cooler songs and that it would have colored your whole impression for a decade. But that didn't happen.
Well, I just didn't walk back here at all. But now I've taken a long walk back here. Now we've
you believe it's only been an hour and 24 minutes?
Jesus Christ. You survived Podcast The Ride. That's what we got to do on that, right? Unless you have any now do you want to have any tearful last words?
No,
and I mean last words, because there's no Mad Tea Party 2. I'll tell you that much.
Well, they did get to say goodbye twice.
They did get to say
wasn't there a conversation where we were talking about, you suggested that we do this, and then I think Jason said, well, what if we combine it with Electronica? And you were like, Jason, no, that's two different things.
I was pitching a month of
I thought you were bitching doing them combo, and Mike got like,
we make a lot of fun, you know, on this podcast about which Jason says sometimes, but he would never,
ever
suggest combining those into two episodes. He knows. Jason's aware.
We'll get to the others.
Well, now, now my heart fell apart. I'm very sorry. I do accuse you of stuff like that.
Who knows what the playlist for Glowfest or Electronica.
We'll have to look into
like.
It, Glowfest.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And also, you know, I keep floating the idea of doing a live musical podcast at Ryan. I just think maybe we find some of these costumes.
Dear God. I gotta end this episode before you get any more ideas.
It's always a good time.
Scott doing Don't Stop Believing, dressed as the Mad Hatter.
What would have to, how many more of these elderberry drinks are you gonna have to give me?
You'd have to take the pill. Take the pill.
You need to know that if you ever see this happening, that I am not okay. I am in distress. If this is in a live setting, audience, stand up and say, Scott's not okay. He would have never. This is my will right now.
In my dream.
Wow, Mike and Scott are dressed like the Walrus and the Carpenter, and they're doing Shake It Off.
In my
Jason's dressed like the young oysters, the baby oysters.
In my dreams, this is just the whole complexion of this music show has changed now that I've been thinking about Mad Tea Party. God.
All right, we're wrapping this up. Keep on surviving. Don't stop surviving. Podcast The Ride, the second gate. Three bonus episodes a month. Keep it here. All right, let's. I'm pulling the plug.
He's just a small town boy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.